The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Father, we thank you for that name. Lord, in that name we find our salvation. Lord, we find our hope. God, we find our peace. Father, that name means more to us than we could ever say. So, Lord, this morning we're thankful, not just for the name of Jesus, but for the work of Jesus. What he did in each of our lives to draw us to you when only he could. God, we pray that as we spend time in your word today, Lord, you'll help mold our hearts into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you again for being here for service. It's great to see, for worship. It's great to see all of you here this morning. I did forget something early in the announcements, and I need to take care of this before we go any further, and I'm so sorry. Our church looks beautiful. Man, and for all of you who worked yesterday, we had a work day yesterday. And I saw people climbing ladders, I saw people pressure washing, I saw people painting, I saw people putting stuff on windows and all kinds of different things. I saw Mandy Crow on top of a lift, and I was like, what in the world? Man, but thank you so much. It looks phenomenal. Our church looks wonderful, and that is because you took care of it. And man, the flower beds, Miss Sue did the flower beds with Mandy and Jenny. I'm just naming the ladies, Pete and Tom, orchestrating all that, Kelly, all the guys, Hunter, Andy, Kenny, good night. Again, I can't thank everybody, but thank you so much for being here and for helping. Our church, I noticed today it looks phenomenal, and so thank you so much for your work that you did to make that happen. So this morning, we want to start a series, and our series is The Ultimate Playlist. And what we're going to do is we're going to look over the next 3 weeks at the Songs of Ascent. So these are songs that Jewish people, the nation of Israel, would sing as they would journey up to Jerusalem. They're called the Songs of Ascent because the way Jerusalem was situated is it was elevated by everything else around it. So it didn't matter how you came up to Jerusalem. You had to go up to go to Jerusalem. And so the nation of Israel, Jewish people, when they had to go there for Passover, the Feast of the Tabernacles, and there's one other feast that they had to go there for. But when they would go, as they would go, they would sing these songs on their journey up. And so for us, it would be much like a modern day playlist. What road trip is complete without a good playlist, right? And so it got me thinking about playlists. And I have to tell you guys an embarrassing story of my life. Kelsey and I got married, and when we got married, we had a bluegrass band, and they were phenomenal. We had an outside wedding, and we had a bluegrass band that played at our reception, and they just played bluegrass, and it was great, and we had every detail of our wedding planned because of Kelsey, except our first dance. Our first dance, we talked about different songs that we could do because there were different meaningful songs. And I remember going across the bridge in Chattanooga and we were listening to the radio. We're like, oh, we like this song. We like that song. And so we're like, well, we can YouTube whatever song we want when we get out there and we can just play it and we'll make a game time decision. We're great at that. I told you we got married outside, right? We got married outside and apparently zero cell phone service whatsoever at all where we got. And so we're out there, and we can't get internet, and we can't find YouTube and everything like that. And so, me being the hero of the day that I am, I go to my trusty iPod, which, again, this is back when you had cell phones and you had iPods that were different. And I go to my trusty iPod, and I pull up the song that I'm sure is just going to get her to swoon over me. Dierks Bentley. It was sweet, I thought. My Last Name. I thought it was a perfect wedding first dance song. She did not. And she has not let me live that down to this day. And so the reason I tell you that embarrassing story to start out with is because we all have songs that are meaningful, right? There's some song. How many of you have a song with your wife or your bride? Anybody? One, two, three. I started to ask for them, but I don't know that we really need to get into that. But songs carry meanings for us, don't they? like you hear certain songs and it takes you back to a memory. It takes you back to a time in your life. It takes you back to some instance and it reminds you of something. And so songs are incredibly important for reminding us of things. And again, if you're going to go on a road trip, you're going to pick songs that you know and that you like to sing on your road trip to keep things energetic or exciting. Now we've got 4 kids, and so our songs look like Disney Princess songs, Taylor Swift songs, dinosaur songs. Yeah, I'm gonna say, and I've already told you Thomas's favorite song is Good News by Shaboozy, so there's no need in hiding that. We put a gospel twist on it, we do. But you have to make sure you have good songs to get in the car. We can't drive from here to Shreveport without having to play good songs. We can't drive from here to the Mexican restaurant without having to play good songs on the radio. And so songs are super important. And so we're going to look at these songs the nation would sing. And actually, the really cool thing is these songs that we're going to look at on Palm Sunday are the songs that Jesus and his disciples would have been singing as they walked into Jerusalem before everybody came out with the palm branches and hailed him as Hosanna. And so it carries a significance as we go into Easter that we're doing the same thing. We're reminding ourselves of all that God's done as they walked into Jerusalem. The first psalm starts with Psalm chapter 120. It says this, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Mekesh, and I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Now, there's lots of different ways you can go with this, but here's the way that I would take this for you, and I would encourage you to take this. It should be that our song, whatever song we sing, the song of our life, should include these two elements, truth and peace. Now, what does that mean? That means that our song that we sing should be truthful. It should be peaceful. As followers of Christ, our songs should be ones that are true about the love of Christ and bring peace as we sing them. In other words, when we enter a room, we should be marked for our honesty, for our truth. When we enter a room, we should not be entered as, oh man, everybody's got to walk on eggshells because they're here to pick a fight with somebody. As followers of Christ, we should bring peace into rooms that we go in. We should bring truth into rooms that we go in because that is the song of our life. Other thing here, it's interesting. Did anybody notice what the lying lips were compared to? Arrows. Flaming arrows. And essentially, when you think about a flaming arrow, what it does is one, it impacts and it damages when it hits. But then he has that part in there about the flaming coals on the back of it. It was intended not just to damage on first strike, but to continue to do damage. Listen, church, we've got to be careful with what we say. Your words have the power to bring life or death. You need to be careful that you're not shooting flaming arrows out of your mouth. When you get it, one of the things that I'm not good at, and I've got to get better at this, confession moment. Sometimes when I get mad, I say things. And then after I say them, I'm like, that was the dumbest thing you could have said. And I can't go back, and I can't take it back, and I have to go to my kids, and I have to apologize and say, hey, listen, Daddy said this, and I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry. Or I get mad and Kelsey and I, we get in an argument and I say something and I'm like, oh, that's dumb. But it's already come out. And so I've got to wait and I've got to go back later and say, hey, Kelsey, listen, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Because what happens is we shoot those arrows out and we don't realize that it's not just the initial damage that's done. But it's that burning coal at the end that does damage continually unless you go and you make it right. Church, remember that your words have the ability to bring life. Most people believe that David is the one who wrote this. When David wrote this, he was fleeing from Saul. And as he was fleeing from Saul, he was having to live among people that were not God's people. And so when he talks about living in the tent, or sojourning in Mekesh and in the tents of Kedar, they believe that he was writing this to say that he's living among people who don't value the same things that he values. They don't value truth. They don't value peace. Followers of Christ are never meant to settle in the world area. If anything, this tells me that you and I, as followers of Christ, for one, should constantly be moving in our journey of faith. We should constantly be taking our next steps. But two, it tells me that you and I should not necessarily find our dwelling, our comfort zone, our livelihood amongst those who don't know God. Now, I'm not telling you you have to quit your job. I'm not telling you you can't work around those people. But what I'm telling you is that when you and your life starts to look more like them and their life, you're no longer journeying through. You've settled there. I told the guys this morning, Nora helped me pick out slides last night, and she picked purple for the background of the screen. She said, because it's for LSU. And my heart broke a little. Because it means we've been here too long. You've infiltrated my child. And now, okay. But it's the idea that all of a sudden, when you become dwelling with people for too long, and I'm not saying, but when you start to change your dwelling from passing through to dwelling, it starts to affect your life. Followers of God are never meant to settle among the tents of those who are not truthful and who do not seek peace. As a follower of God, that should be the mark of your life. A song that sings truth and peace. Every room you walk in should be lit up by truth and peace. The second psalm that we're going to look at is Psalm chapter 120. It starts out and it says this: I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. The second song that should mark our life as Christians, as followers of Christ, the second song is this: a song of an abundant life found in God. Man, when you look at what the writer of this psalm talks about, he talks about how God watches over everything he does. It's the peace that we have, the sustaining presence of God in our life. God didn't just create us and say, hey, here you go, good luck. He didn't just push us out. He actually cares. He watches over every step. He watches over every move. There's nothing we can ever do to get away from the presence of God. As a believer, as a follower of Christ, as a person of God, God's presence is with you everywhere. Now, to some of you, that's very reassuring. You mean in the middle of this? Yeah, in the middle of that, God's still there with you. Some of you, that's very convicting. You mean God saw me when that person cut me off the other day? Yeah, he did. But because of his grace and his love and his mercy, he forgives you still. But God's presence is with us, and God's presence is with us not just to give us life, but Jesus says, I came not so that you may have life, but you may have it abundantly. Abundant means full, rich, blessed, and fruitful. God's desire for your life, church, is that it would be full, that it would be rich, that it would be blessed, and that it would be fruitful. Now, some of you are saying, man, that is not the life I'm living right now. Then hang on to that. Remember that a song that should mark the life of a believer is a song that is rich, of a rich life, of a full life, but also of a fruitful life. See, I think we like the full, we like the rich, and we like the blessed. That fruitful is where we kind of get a little lost. It's filled with opportunities to produce fruit to the glory of God. Your life is filled with opportunities to glorify God. You say, well, I don't see him. Hang on. Pray for it. Pray, God, listen, open my eyes and show me the opportunities that are around me that I can do to glorify you. Your life is filled with them as a follower of Christ. Our song should be one that speaks about the abundant life found in the presence of God. Psalm 122. I will rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing at the gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statutes given to Israel. There stand the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, I will seek your prosperity. The next thing that our song should be is our song should be joy for the journey. What would happen is as the nation of Israel would walk, they would sing these songs as they would ascend to Jerusalem, and then they were singing about the place where the presence of God dwelt. They were excited to go to the house of God because the very presence of God was in the temple. And so they were had this sense of anticipation that every time they got to journey there, they would get to be closer to God than they ever had been. For us, it's a little different. This church is beautiful. Can I tell you a secret? God's presence doesn't just reside in this church. God's presence resides in this church, in you. And so you getting to be in fellowship with one another is the joy for the journey. You get to experience that as you go up, as you journey together, as you do life together, as you have fellowship with one another, you experience the joy that only can come from loving and knowing God through Christ. Because when you go through something, you're not going through it alone. Scripture says we weep with those who weep, but we rejoice with those who rejoice. This, the body of Christ, the fellowship of the bride of Christ, is what we get to be excited about journeying with. Man, I love my crew. I love y'all. Yesterday morning I woke up and I was like, oh, work day, Pete. Great. I don't like working anywhere. And now I've got to go work someplace else other than my house. You know, the next thought was, man, but I wonder who I'll get to see. I wonder who I'll get to cut up with. I wonder who I'll get to have a conversation with and get to know a little bit better. Man, Kyle. Kyle's phenomenal, and Kyle's not scared of anything. Kyle's on a lift 60 feet up in the air. It felt like 60 feet up in the air. I don't know how high it was, but it felt like that. And man, Kyle and I got to talk and have a good time, and I got to know him better just because we got to work together yesterday. That's the joy that comes from this journey of living life in fellowship with the body of Christ. Hey, and if I can tell you something, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Christ, and you say, well, I can worship just as good at home as I can there, I love you, but you're wrong. Yes, God's presence is there with you because the Holy Spirit dwells within you, but you miss this. You miss the fellowship. You miss the joy that comes from worshiping with other believers. The second thing about this that we need to be careful of is this. You don't ever get jealous of people in church, do you? I mean, we don't, but like, just see what new dress she got? I've never gotten a new dress. I've been wearing the same shoes for 6 years. He gets new shoes every week. Why do their kids sit and behave and my kids pull my hair out during church? And all of a sudden we start to compare ourselves to each other. And all of a sudden we start to get jealous of what somebody else has within the fellowship and the body of Christ. Church, can I caution you and tell you that is very, very dangerous. Listen, you rejoice with that victory. When something good happens to somebody else in this fellowship, you rejoice and you say, man, I'm so happy and grateful for you. You shouldn't be coming in here looking to pick fights with people about something that they've done. You should come into the doors of this place excited that you are united in worship of the living God, and all the other mess and nonsense that tell you out there is important to compare yourself to people in here. Leave that nonsense and mess out there and rejoice with the body of Christ that you get to fellowship with and you get to worship God with in here. Don't worry about that mess. This is no place for that. This is a place to celebrate, to encourage, and to strengthen each other in your walk with Christ. The next psalm we jump to is Psalm 120. I think we're on 124. 123, I'm sorry. Psalm 123 says this, I lift my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. as the eyes of a slave look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to our God till he shows his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us. For we have endured no end to contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, from the contempt and the proud. Our song should be a song of the confident hope in God's mercy. There's one small phrase that's in this psalm that just drew me in. And it's the phrase, or the part where the psalmist writes, our eyes look to our God till he shows mercy. It's the expectation, it's the confidence that regardless of what goes on, regardless of what I do, regardless of how many times I mess up, regardless of how many times I fall, I know that my God is going to show mercy. Because of what Christ did on the cross, because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, I am confident of what God desires to do in my life. It is not to condemn me. It is not to strike me down. It is not to sit in heaven with a magnifying glass and burn me every time I step out of line. My God's desire is that I would be drawn to him because of his grace and mercy in my life. And I'm confident in that. Man, listen, that confidence changes how we do things. It changes everything about us. God will show mercy. He will make a way to redeem his creation, and we know that. And because we know God made a way to redeem his creation through Christ, it gives us hope. Listen, people are going to look at your faith and tell you you're crazy. People are going to look at your faith and say, why in the world would you do that? That makes no sense. Can I tell you some really exciting things? That's not confident hope in God. Confident hope in God looks and says, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand it. But I trust in you because I've seen what you've done. I have a confident hope in you. And while others may seem it's foolish to have that confidence in God, hang on tight to it. Because you've seen the finished work. You've seen everything that God has done to bring you back to him, to offer you forgiveness of sins, to give you mercy. And if God is going to stop at nothing to bring you back to him, then there's nothing he can't do. One of my favorite verses of scripture is when the angel talks to Mary. And Mary says, how can I be pregnant? And the angel says, all things are possible with God. Church, this morning, do you have a confident hope? Is the song of your life, is the song that you sing of confident hope? Or when people ask you about different things and when people ask you about your faith, you start to kind of wane a little bit? Well, I mean, yeah, I believe in God, but, you know, I mean, I'm still set up. Well, yeah, I'm trusting God, but if he doesn't, I mean, yeah, I go to church, I read my Bible and everything, but you know, I've also got a plan. It doesn't speak of confident hope. It doesn't speak of faith. As followers of Christ, our lives should shout of the confident hope found in God's mercy and love in our life. Psalm 124 says this, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like birds from the flower's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our song should be a song of help in times of trouble and temptation. I say this every week, and I'll never get tired of saying it, and I hope you never get tired of hearing it. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. Listen, I try to be a good pastor. I try to know. I try to take stock. I try to be invested. I try to reach out and hear different things that are going on, but it's impossible for me to know everything that's going on in your life. because some things are going on so deep inside you that you've never even put them into words. Some things are struggles so deep down in your heart that only you know the weight of them. Can I tell you some good news? Our song is a song of help in times of trouble. God is very present in your trouble. The things, the stuff that you're going through, God is with you. He is there for you. And not only is he with you, he is on your side. God's desire is to give you an abundant, phenomenal life. This morning, your song should be a song of help in times of trouble. Now I talked about this, and some of you are sitting there, and you are bored out of your gourd. You're like, John, I could have figured all this out on my own. Why in the world did I come to church today? Well, hopefully Rocky sang something you liked. But for the grace of God, none of us would be here today. And sometimes what it's good to do is it's good to have things in our life that remind us of God's grace. See, none of this, as a follower of God, as a follower of Christ, none of this should be new information to you. This should be things that you experience daily, that you have as a mark, as a keynote, as a corner post for your life. But the problem is, sometimes for a lot of us, we forget them. We forget that God's for us. We forget that God is rich in mercy and that he will show mercy to us. We forget that this fellowship is vital to our walk with Christ. We forget that we're not supposed to settle with the world, but we're supposed to journey with Christ. And so over the next couple of weeks, these aren't going to be new concepts. There shouldn't be light bulbs going off in your head. This should be that still, small, quiet song that reminds you of what you already know. Hey, how many of you guys love going on a road trip or getting in the car, all of a sudden the radio's playing some new song? Skip, that's right. Thank you so much. Skip, nope, don't like that one. You only heard 5 seconds of it. Don't care, don't like it. Not what I know. Not what's familiar. Not what I can sing along to. See, these songs were never meant to be new. They were supposed to be familiar. They were supposed to bring comfort. They were supposed to be songs that you could sing so easily because you were so assured of what God has done. Church, if these songs aren't a mark of your life, this morning maybe you just need to be refreshed. Maybe you just need to hear that good old tune again to remind you of what God's done in your life to get you here. I had a sombering moment the other day as we were working on the church. God, how in the world did I end up here? And not just Louisiana, that's a miracle in and of itself. God, how did you bring a knuckleheaded teenager kid who was a dummy at times? How did you get him through college and through young adulthood? And how did you bring him to be a pastor of a church? God, what in the world? And I remember every step along that way. Every time God showed mercy on me when I was a knucklehead. Every time he led me away from people who sought dishonesty and taught me to speak truth and to love peace. And I remembered everything that God did to get me to stand right here with you all this morning. And you know what it did? It made me sing praise in a whole different way. It made me worship in a completely different way. Because I was remembering everything that God's done. And I was so thankful and grateful to get to be where I am today. If you're not where you are, church, guess what? We've all watched baseball games, basketball games, hockey games be changed by centimeters, by inches, haven't we? Let me ask you one question. Am I in the same place I was a second ago? My location has completely changed. This morning, if you're not where you want to be, if you can't say, hey, listen, I can sing these songs mark my life. Take one step out of the way. Take one step closer. Listen, it may be one small step. It may be one small thing that God's calling you to do this morning. But that one small step will remind you, it will renew in your mind everything that he's done. And you'll see him provide and you'll see your faith rewarded in a great way. So that that next step and that next step and that next step would be constant reminders of all that God's done. I've never been to Israel. I've never been to Jerusalem. But they say this journey up back in the day would have been a little bit taxing. My legs hurt from climbing a ladder yesterday. I can't imagine this journey. And at some point in time, the desire would be, let's just sit down. Stop. That's not what God's calling them to do. So every step was painful. But that's why they sang songs to remind them of what God had done. Because it made the next step worth it. And the next step worth it. And the next step worth it. This morning, whatever your next step is, I challenge you, I encourage you to take it. Father, thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for songs that were sung so long ago. But God, there's songs that are still true, that remind us of so many remarkable things that we need to be reminded of from time to time. God, this morning, if there's one here who, Lord, they would say my life isn't where I want it to be. My walk with Christ isn't where I want it to be. God, their life may not be marked by these songs, and Father, they desire today to walk closer to you. I pray that during this time of worship, Lord, we would respond. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our lives now. That God, wherever you lead, we would follow you. God, today would be a reminder of what you've done and what you want to do in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.